Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight recap, and hopefully 16 days, I think it is, that I have left to deal with this bullshit. I can't wait to be done.
You know, usually I'd be telling you like, no, come on, you're really feeling this. Like, and there's some folks who've been saying that in the comments as well. But after today's episode, I'm feeling like you now.
Thank you.
Because today's episode, I hate when they get to these episodes in the season because they just slow the whole season down for a week just to drag it out an extra week, just like they did the first 3-hour episode. And to give you an insight, if you're joining us for the first time, how we got here, because I'm a big Married at First Sight fan. Love it. Have watched every season from the beginning, even though I picked up in season 3, right? Now, Terrell doesn't like reality TV at all. But he made this deal with the devil that he wouldn't watch The Bachelor. I don't know why he picked that show of all shows until they had a black bachelor. Lo and behold, ABC says, hold my beer, enter Matt James, and he's stuck watching The Bachelor. So me being the great friend that I am, I say, you know what? I'll take on this arduous task with you, and I'll watch this crappy-ass show with you. But in return, you've got to watch one of my shows. And here we are.
I really hate this whole I'm the great friend thing. Like, you really sell yourself out to be... like, you're just awesome, right?
Well, I am.
I mean, you kind of sound like Jose right now. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, you're amazing.
listen here, Rachel. You're going to take this abuse and like it. And don't you dare walk away, because now I'm going to be offended if you walk away.
I'm going to lock you out. First chance I get, I'm locking you out.
Exactly. And since you brought them up, let's get to Jose and Rachel, because, you know, one of the first things I saw when they sat down with the experts is him asking, like, what he can do to not want make his wife want to leave. It's so laughable. It's easy, Jose. It's really easy. Don't lock her out of the friggin' house right after telling her to get the fuck out.
So, Jose and Rachel, I agree with you. You know, I love the fact that Dr. Pepper, which is weird to call her that, but Dr. Pepper was, like, called out his controlling nature. And that's his problem. I've said it many times. He's that controlling, typical machismo, you know, Latin male that, you know, he wants an independent woman. And she called out the fact that he's done things a certain way that's worked. And so in his mind, everything he does is awesome. And anyone else's opinion is bad. Mm-hmm. But he, all that drama that came out, the fact that she's still willing to go forward with how he treated her, how he locked her out the house, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And she saw the rage. I'm like, Rachel, what are you thinking? Run. Yeah. Run.
There are people on Twitter who are like, you know, it's not just his anger. Jose's petty, vindictive, and spiteful towards the woman he claimed to love. That boy would take you swimming knowing you can't swim and flip the boat just to watch you. He's sick as fuck. I couldn't sum it up better. I mean, I'm not understanding why Rachel is still like, oh, yes, you know, he's everything I wanted in a man and more. Because at the same time, you know, you saw the blow up. You've been warning her since that episode, like, girl, run. You know, mm-hmm. Twitter's been warning her, and apparently she's got her blinders on. Jose's a joke. And the fact that he's sitting there like, huh? What do you mean I had something to do with this? It can't be me.
It's just terrible that she thinks this is okay behavior, that she's willing to forgive. And to me, that's the beginning of an abuser, right? And I'm not saying that he's going to be physically abusive and all that, but we can see that he's been verbally abusive. He's displayed that on camera. So, Rachel, why? Why would you do this? And women that watch this show, take notes. Like, don't do this with guys. If a guy blows up at you like that, that's not who you want to be with. So it's mind-blowing that they're probably going to make it, right? They're probably going to make it based on decision day. Now, will they make it long-term? Who knows? But decision day-wise, they're probably going to make it. But I'm really disappointed in Rachel.
They may. I'm still thinking that maybe they won't. Hopefully they won't. But I know who definitely won't, and that's Ryan and Brett. Ryan is so done that I don't even know why he's even still on the show. Then you watch Brett after the experts, and you see her sit there taking the advice and then sit down with Ryan, and it looked like she was afraid to ask the question.
Yes. Yes, because she doesn't want the answer, mm-hmm. right? We talked about this before, right? There's nothing worse than somebody telling you, hey, Yanni, you're a great guy. You have all these great things. I'm just not feeling you in that way. Mm-hmm. It hurts, right? Now, but it needs to be said. And yeah. Ryan needs to say that to Brett. But Brett had the chance to ask the question, and she didn't, because she's heard this before.
Yeah.
So I think she's just tired of hearing it. I don't know. I think she's just tired of hearing it, and that's why she didn't do it. But I feel bad for her, because she seems like a really awesome person, minus her cleanliness, because that is horrible. I can't go off of that. I mean, some people gave me flack about that last week in the comments, but I'm sorry. That's just disgusting. But it's not just that. There's more to it that Ryan is not interested in her. But he just needs to tell her, like, hey, you're dope. You're great. You're all these things. I'm just not feeling it. And I thought I would, but I'm not feeling it. So decision day, I'm going to say no. So let's go have some margaritas. Are you cool? You know, and just let her know and let her move on.
The thing about it is, like, you know, when she sat down with her sister and is like, it was good on the honeymoon. And when we came back, it was good. And it was about a week after. It may not be more than the cleanliness, because after a week of seeing her leave shit all over the place and he knew he wasn't already attracted to her, he's like, "If I'm not attracted to you, you might as well keep this motherfucker spotless. And if you're not, peace out."
Ryan's not going to forget that bathroom. That bathroom was atrocious. Like, that's just crazy. That's how she lives. But I don't blame Ryan, but it's okay to tell her that you're just not feeling it. And that's all Brett wants.
Exactly. You know, this couple was kind of invisible this week, Gil and Merla. And I mean, they were just so, they were the invisible couple. You know, there's always an invisible couple. They were the invisible couple this time. But this Nicole_Simmons on Twitter said, I'd like to point something out. The couples experiencing the most issues are the ones who had sex rather early on in their relationship. You see Merla and Gil, though. And I'm like, well, they still haven't done it, but, you know, I see where she's going. But to counter that point, Ryan and Brett haven't had sex either, or at least that we know of.
I don't even know if they French kissed yet. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it. I don't know. But to her point, because I saw that and I get where she's coming from, but here's the reality. I would not be living with somebody day in and day out for however many days they've been, and we've not had sex yet. That wouldn't work for me.
A month and a half, really?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't work for me. Living with you, it's one thing to meet somebody, and a month and a half, y'all have sex for the first time because you're not with each other every day. Mm-hmm. But we're living together every day, all day. Mm-hmm. No, there's no way I could do that, because I think that the physical part of a relationship is really important to me, and I'm hoping that it's important to both of them, because at some point they got to cross that plane and see how they have that chemistry. And I would hate to see them say yes on decision day, because I don't want that. We all know that. But I would hate for them to say yes on decision day, and then we commit to season 14. And then a month later, they break up because they don't have the physical chemistry. And I'm like, y'all could have figured that shit out a long time ago, and I wouldn't be stuck with season 14. So that's how I'm looking at it.
I've got here a present that Merla would have for you if you were matched with her. And it's a case. It's a case of not chocolate chip cookies. This is lotion. So you can make it through. You're terrible.
Oh, God, I hate you. I hate you so much. And it's funny, I said earlier in the week on our regular episode that I'm on vacation this week and I'm going to be drinking whiskey. And I told myself today, I'm like, you know what? Don't do whiskey. I felt classy. I'm drinking wine because I just didn't want to go raw and just say all kind of wrong shit. And so I'm glad I made this choice. I think I'm saying some things that are way more coherent than they would be if I would watch whiskey or drink whiskey watching this episode. But
watch whiskey drinking this episode. I got you.
Yeah.
You're definitely doing great today.
I'm doing a lot better, but I'm on vacation. But with Gil and Merla, I totally understand where that person on Twitter, you know, had that thought that because they've not jumped in bed together, this is why they're doing better. I don't think they're going to work out. I still don't want them to work out for obvious reasons. But the affection piece is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to be married to somebody and you got somebody, and I've said this before on the show, that this person made the ultimate commitment. None of these women were virgins. Mm-hmm. They've all hooked up and done something, but they've hooked up with people who've never made the ultimate decision to say, I'm going to marry you. Mm-hmm. Why would you wait 30 days to sleep with somebody who married you?
It's been at least 45 for them, because they're halfway through the second month. So and they still haven't. They probably won't before decision day. And maybe it's right after decision day they get it on. And more power to them, because once they say that, yes, they're going to stay together, then we know that we'll be doing season 14 and they'll be on. We know who won't be saying yes. And it's pretty obvious here. Johnny and Bao. And good thing you're not drinking whiskey today, because if you were drinking whiskey watching this episode with Johnny, I mean, for me, you've heard of Johnny Be Good. Meet Johnny the Idiot. I mean, seriously, Jesus Christ. How do you want everything your way and absolutely nothing her way?
Well,
she's not your servant.
He is so in his feels, and watching his jaw, you know, whenever she talks, he just gets this little I'm like, dude, he hates her. You hate her with a passion, mm-hmm. you know, and there's nothing she could do that could turn this around. Johnny is terrible. And it's crazy because, you know, the first three or four episodes, we were all pro Johnny Bao. I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this dude is a nightmare.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that Bao is seeing it and she's sticking up for herself. She's not pulling a Rachel going, I just got to do better to make him like me. No, Bao, you're doing right. You hold Johnny accountable and say, Johnny, get your shit together. But Johnny's just not interested
at all.
And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say.
Oh, he said worse than that.
He's so hurtful. Like, he's so hurtful when he told her, like, you know, we've known each other for 15 years. The reason why I've never dated is because I wasn't attracted to you. I'm like, damn, Johnny.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing about this. I think if the experts really wanted ratings, they wouldn't have matched Johnny and Bao. They'd have matched Johnny and Michaela. If they knew Johnny was that mean, they probably would have, because that... Can you imagine Johnny saying that to Michaela?
Yeah, but Michaela would have whooped his ass. I mean, there'd have been violence.
That's like, ratings.
Johnny can't handle a Michaela night, you know, a Michaela thunderstorm. Johnny would get his ass whooped. And then it'd be this whole blacks against Asians thing. It'd be a big thing that we don't need right now. So... I'm glad they didn't match those two.
I know, but the ratings would have been amazing. But while we're on Hurricane Michaela, because we got a sneak peek at this, and I'm excited for next week. This week dragged along, and we know it's going to get better next week. But Zach and Michaela, man, watching Zach play the victim again, it's tiring. He drops tears like it's nothing. I'm glad he at least acknowledged it later in the episode, but oh my God, Zach, man up. Jesus.
I told you from the beginning, there's something about this dude, and this dude drops tears. It's like it's on cue. He can just do it whenever he needs to. It's like, I need to cry right now. Give me a second. I just tried so hard.
Yeah.
And I want to be a perfectionist. I'm just like, you're making it about you.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a cop out.
It is, because I felt like he made all that about him. Mm-hmm. Is that all his relationships failed is because he's a perfectionist, mm-hmm. and he puts that energy on someone else. I'm like, dude, you're an asshole.
You're
not a perfectionist.
You're a recruiter. How many times have you asked people, what's your flaw, and they tell you that they're perfectionists? Or what's the bad thing about them?
Oh, that's a great question, because I don't ask that question.
Because
people are prepared for that.
Ah.
What I do ask people a lot of times in an interview, and I'll say, if I get everybody that's worked with you in the past into a conference room and hotel and ask them, what are two things they love about you? And then they'll be like, oh, this. But like, okay, what if all those people say, here's one thing I don't like about this person. What would they all say? That's when it gets interesting. Because then they're just like, I don't know. I think they would say, and I'm like, yeah, you're not self-aware that you're an asshole.
Oh, and I'm about to say, I know exactly what they say about me.
Oh, I know what they're going to say about you is that Yanni Rude is an asshole. So I get it.
Here's the thing, though. I'm not the only asshole, and I'm not pointing at you in this one. I'm still pointing at Zach, because the fact that when they sat down, him and Michaela got back together after meeting with the experts, right? This irked me so bad, and that's why I'm making it a point. I even made a note of this. The fact that he said, when she was like, oh, yeah, well, I want to sit in the sun. I'm fine. And he said, oh, because if I was sitting in the sun, I'd have asked you to switch. What kind of man are you? Are you serious?
Well, hold on. I am hot natured. I hate sitting out
Come on
patios.
What are you doing on this show?
I don't. I don't like sitting out on patios in the sun. And so if I was like beamed in the sun, I'd be like, can we move? I would ask, can we move somewhere but that we can both?
That's the difference. You said move, not switch.
Yeah. But she wanted to sit in the sunlight. That's totally fine. But here's what I think is great about their meetings with Dr. Pepper and... I freaking hate saying this.
Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola.
And yeah, Pastor Troy. I mean, Pastor Cal. What I thought was interesting about those meetings is Zach plays this card to where he's like the victim emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that he's dealing with things. So he goes for the sympathy aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Troy is I'm sorry. Pastor Cal, I keep saying it. It just runs, it just flows off the tongue. Pastor Cal, though, I think has, I really like the questions that he comes up with them. And when he asked Michaela, do you want this more than you don't want this? Like, that's huge. Mm. Because then she has to realize at that point, I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say this. You know, it's interesting in that because it probably got them to both thinking that after the volleyball game, they had this conversation and they both said if decision day was today, we'd say no. I like the honesty, but they should have known that saying that would cause the fallout that happened after. The fact that Zach got mad at Michaela not wanting to sleep in the same bed after they both said no, that part I don't get. And, well, okay, my bad. 20-year-old Yanni gets it because it's like, well, we got a couple more weeks. Come on, Tropical Storm Michaela. And I don't mean the anger.
No, I get that. And I get where Michaela's coming from because Michaela doesn't feel secure. Mm-hmm. There's no future in this. Mm-hmm. She's picking up on all the different signs that Zach is sending her.
Yeah.
So she's like, why would I sleep in the same bed with you?
Exactly.
And Zach is trying to make it seem like she's the victim.
Yeah.
And it's her fault because she don't want to sleep in the same bed. I'm like, dude, you don't make her feel secure whatsoever. This is your fault. Just his level of anger because he's just like, what the fuck is this? I've never dated someone and been in that situation where I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? I've never done that. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing positive that comes from talking to somebody that you love, mm-hmm. right, in that format. And what Zach is doing is he's trying to make Michaela to seem like she's the problem.
Yeah.
And we all thought that in the beginning because mm-hmm. we knew that there was going to be a Hurricane Michaela. Mm-hmm. But now we get that there's a reason there's a Hurricane Michaela.
Yeah.
But I commend Michaela on how she was handling a lot of the dialogue today with him. Mm-hmm. And she didn't snap. She's just being honest and just being direct with him and having conversation. And he couldn't handle it.
And I couldn't understand why he was upset that she left. You left that night for the second or third or fourth or fifth time. Because he spent nights out of the house enough times. After, if you're moving out now because I said we don't need to sleep in the same bed, and you're like, well, I'm just going to go sleep at home because my bed's better. All right, well, you know what? When you get back, I ain't going to be here. I'm not mad at her for moving out then. I've been a strong advocate of staying in the house, making it work. But
yep.
At that point, y'all both already agreed not to do it. Both of y'all just move out. If that's the case, move out, forfeit the last 2 weeks of the show, show up for decision day, and that be it. And
Well, here's what's interesting, though, and again, this could have been edited out, but as Zach is talking to his boys, mm-hmm. he doesn't say anything he did wrong.
Of course not.
He just talks about her to where mm-hmm. they all get on the bandwagon because, just like you, like I've known you for 20-something years. If you're just like, hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm like, I got your back. Mm-hmm. You need me to drive up there, you need to move, you need a place to crash, come down to Austin, Texas. I got you covered. Mm-hmm. Without hearing the other side of the story, right? But his boys are going to listen to him. But he's not selling anything that he's doing wrong. He's just selling what Michaela is wrong. And that's it, making her look like she's the bad guy. And I'm just like, dude, Zach, that's your problem.
But here's the part that you left out of this. And this is why we are friends and have been friends for this long and will continue to be. Because you just made that point that you would come up, you'd help pack up, you'd help do this. What you left out of this was on that trip back, you'd be like, all right, so what did you do? You might not ask it at first. But there's somewhere in that long ass trip, you're going to be like, all right, no, I know it wasn't all her fault. What did you do?
Exactly. Exactly. But that's why we are friends, is because we can call each other out
yeah.
on each other's shit. Now, mm-hmm. in the moment, you're like, Terrell, I need the help. I need to get my stuff. I need to get out of here. I'd be like, I'm on the first plane. We're going to drive down to Austin in your car. But as soon as we pack you up and we get in the car, as soon as we go on the highway, I'm like, so what'd you do? There's more to this story than what you've told me, and this is bullshit. But I'm going to hold you accountable for that, and I hope that Zach's boys would have done the same. But
exactly.
Yeah, he's making Michaela out to seem like the victim. And here's what's very interesting about all these couples that I'm realizing, you know, watching the show that I just can't freaking stand, is this what marriage is like? Is that in front of your peers and whatever, you make your spouse look like they're the problem when it's really you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because I've had friends that, like my guy friends, me and my guy friends that are married, they don't complain to me about their wives. They don't talk negative about their wives. But I feel like women do this. And I'm just wondering, is this like, watching this episode and watching these shows, this whole season has taught me that if I get married, the first person I need to have a conversation with, if I'm feeling any kind of way, is my wife.
Yep.
It doesn't need to be my homeboys mm-hmm. or whatever that are going to co-sign on my feelings. And now I let her know this is how I'm feeling. I'm learning a whole lot watching this. But I feel like more women do this than men, minus what we're seeing from Zach. You know, mm-hmm. but I think more women do this where they talk bad about their husbands before they told their husband. And you know, definitely chime in on the comments. I mean, if I'm wrong, let me know.
And I will say, you know, just like Khaki said on YouTube, tell stop saying you hate Married at First Sight. I can tell you love it by how giddy you get when you and Yanni are doing the reviews. And, you know,
it's because I'm drinking. That's why I'm giddy. It's because I'm drinking. I'm like, I don't watch this drinking water.
So here's a great thing, though. So Tradia, who's at I Am Tradia on IG, in my old stomping grounds, Vietnam, North CAC, over at Foxy 99. She checks out the podcast, checks out our recaps, and she sent me some tea.
Ooh.
And, you had gotten some tea before about potentially Brett and somebody of a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come to find out that I've seen one of these videos pop up, and it was a real quick pan, right? And the pan had two people of color involved in it.
Mm.
One, and two people that we know, the way the show is going right now, they're going to say no on decision day and probably saying yes to each other later, because you've got Bao at a party in a club chilling, and people are like, wait a minute, is that Zach? And then come to find out there are pictures on social of the two of them together, right? And part of it that's coming out is that some of it may have been from a special that they're shooting for Married at First Sight. And it could be a follow-up because, of course, the decision has already been done. I think the reunion has already been done. So it'll be interesting to see. But here's what found out on MAS, because this is what she forwarded it to me. MAFS fan on IG, which is, of course, one of those fan pages for Married at First Sight, right? Michaela had posted. And what she said was, after seeing all these pictures, look, y'all, I'm legally married only because I'm contractually obligated to be, but very estranged. I have not spoken directly to that man in months. You know when they start referring to you as that man, it's been done. Whatever him and her have going on has absolutely nothing to do with me. I wish them the best. That says a lot. But the other thing that she said I thought was interesting, and I think you're seeing this too, and what you just said kind of points to the fact that of this. He says, I'm happy for anyone who comes out of this process a happier, healthier version of themselves. The experts do get many things right in this process. And she goes and says other things. He goes, many former castmates are now in beautiful relationships because of the lessons given to all of us. No one is perfect, but it's the perfect somebody for all of us. And so basically she's saying there's a lot of lessons to be learned from what the experts say. Just it may not be with that person. But it looks like Bao and Zach.
I mean, like mind blown. I did not see that coming. And now it makes like the teaser episode that they did at the end of this one, where Bao's out the door and watching Zach and Michaela move up. I wonder if she's just like, God, look at Zach's ass. Look at that. I don't know why Michaela's tripping. I'd be all on that. I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy.
I bet you he'd hit it every day, unlike somebody in here.
But I think that if you really think about it, what we've been watching so far from the beginning to where we are today, based on what we know about these couples, could they be a match? Actually, yes. They could be, right? And if they had to go through this process, they both married someone else that didn't work, and then they found each other and it works, good for them. That's awesome. But I did not see that coming whatsoever.
I didn't see it coming either. And I think here's my wild conspiracy theory, right? I think the producers of the show kind of leaked this out because they knew it was coming out anyway. Because if you notice, today's episode, because this just popped up this week, right? Today's episode, you had Johnny talking about his problems with Bao to Zach. And the look on Zach's face is, and then what they do in the teaser for the next episode, they had the preview of the next episode, they had Bao peeking through the door at the blow up, which we cannot ignore the blow up that is going to come next week. I cannot wait for this. Hurricane Michaela is better than I thought. Did you see the way she flipped the tables, disconnected the ping pong table? I'm like, you go, girl.
I did, but what they're not showing is what made her do that. And so I think as men, we can't just say she's crazy or she's out there until we see what caused it. And so I want to make sure that we hold that judgment back, because I want to see what caused it, because Zach has said some harsh shit already that I'm surprised she hasn't flipped her shit yet. But he's said some harsh things. I'm just curious to see like all the deets that led up to that. Mm-hmm. And then I could be like, yeah, I'd have flipped them some chairs and tables too. I agree with you.
I will say this. I haven't called her crazy yet. I just, Hurricane Michaela, which she's definitely came through there like the Tasmanian devil and Hurricane Michaela. I will say this though. I'm excited to see this because we need this excitement on the show.
We need something because this shit is boring.
It's not boring. Stop it.
It's terrible.
Today's episode was, but the show, the whole season, you've learned a lot this season.
I've learned a lot. I mean, let me just say this. For those people that really want us to do season 14, let me just say I've learned some things. Great. There's some positive I've got out of this experience. But it's terrible. It's a terrible show. The concept is terrible. All the drama is like staged to get this emotion, to get people to do these recap episodes. Why are we doing this to ourselves? I think there's more to life. We should be doing other things. Spending time with family. Doing other stuff than watching this shit. And
are
so,
you done?
No, because I say that to say, Merla, Gil is not good enough for you. He is not good enough for you.
To get to this point.
Don't sell yourself short, Merla. You deserve better. You deserve a man who appreciates your income and appreciates your desires for materialistic things. You need someone that connects with you, and Gil doesn't do it. So, Merla, I'm pleading with you.
You're struggling to find good things to say.
Merla, I'm pleading with you. Look into yourself and realize you don't like this man. You think he's a great dude. You deserve
like
someone better. If I got to fall on the sword, I'm in Austin, Merla, and I make good money. If you want to hang out, just so you and Gil don't say yes on decision day, and I don't have to do this show, I will do this. I will fall on the sword.
I think it's time to cut his mic. I think the wine's finally gotten to him, folks. Hey, don't forget, we drop regular episodes on Monday, our audio episodes on Monday, video episodes on Tuesday. And of course, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be right back here on Wednesday with the audio and video with the Married at First Sight Season 13 recaps. And because Gil and Merla are going to make it, we'll be back for season 14.
I would love to hear what everyone thought about this episode tonight. Comment, let us know how you feel. And then those of you that agree with me that Gil and Merla don't need to make it, I need us to unite.
I don't think I've seen that comment yet.
I need us to unite. I'm calling on my prayer warriors.
I think your prayer warriors have been buried by the other prayer warriors. Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure to follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.